good.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are hot.
Like butter.
Yeah, okay. You got your mind. What are you doing?
Thank you, dummies.
Sit down, young man. Get on him all.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you, as ever, by the Amp Radio Network. This particular show we like to call Smack My Picks Up. This one we're going to be doing picks for UFC Fight Night 168. I am aware that there are two Bellator cards this weekend. Is it two or three? Because it looks like there's two from Dublin. Anyways, Bellator going to Bellator. Yeah. Bellator going to Bellator. And the only thing of note, DJ Tony, that I saw this weekend is that Ed Ruth is going to be headlining one of the Bellator cards. That is, of course, on Friday, February 21st, Bellator 239. So good thing, good job, Ed Ruth. So let's get back to it. I'm lucky enough. My name is Proteus. I am lucky enough to be joined again by the Fighting Four for this particular card. Let's go ahead and give you guys the breakdown of this particular card. UFC 168, Felder versus Hooker, also known as, if you're keeping keeping track, UFC on ESPN Plus 26. UFC Fight Night 168 will take place February 23rd, 2020 at the Spark Arena in Auckland, New Zealand. Ladies and gentlemen, Lord Dana wants to go ahead and say to the North American fans, this card is not for you. But let's go ahead and get into this one real quick. And let's bring in the life of the party herself. It's Pam from North Carolina.
Valhalla, everyone.
Oh. I don't know. I think that's theft, DJ Tony.
Oh, my goodness.
You got to give it to her. That was awesome. It would have been better if she would have. Hey, Valhalla.
Valhalla.
There you go. All right, so Pam.
I could say Valhalla.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, we're going to kill this. We're going to beat it to death. How's everyone?
We're doing great tonight, I think. I'm doing great. We haven't brought anybody else in yet, but I'm doing good. Pammy, the most notable thing I saw from your Twitter this week, of course, I believe it was this morning, or maybe it was yesterday morning, you got your 3 miles in.
Oh, yeah. I've been, let me just, bring you guys up to speed on some stuff. We think I have a torn meniscus in my knee, so I haven't been able to do a lot of stuff, and they have me on before they can do an MRI and all that other good stuff. I have to be proactive and doing certain things, so they have me on this medication that keeps the inflammation down. So right. I went walking the other day, and not normally like my brisk, like hauling ass, like I've got Megan Anderson legs, but, I did my 3 miles, and it was absolutely beautiful outside. I mean, it
looks
so
like a
pretty
stunning day.
Oh, my gosh, beautiful. And then now we're supposed to have snow tomorrow.
Oh, well, good for you.
They say.
You can have some of the
snow
that we've got here.
Oh, people don't know what to do in the snow here. The first thing, the stores go, people go to the stores and they buy milk and bread. So there's no milk, no bread. So I guess you do French toast when it snows. I don't know.
Right on. Sounds good to me. That's what I usually do. but listen, I wanted to comment real quickly because DJ Tony and I were talking about this year. We talked about it briefly on the show last week. We're going to challenge ourselves, Pammy. That's why on your Twitter I said Amp Radio Challenge. So what we're going to do is we're going to challenge each other this year to stay active. Whatever you got to do, I'm gonna promise to try and do 25 push-ups a day because I was running, as you guys mentioned, as I mentioned on last week's show, and seriously effed up my knees. So I got to take a break from that. It's terrible. I was in so much pain last night, Pammy, but I digress. I'm going to promise to try and do 25 push-ups each day. So everybody who's listening, you guys can join us kind of like a Sober October kind of thing. But I digress again. Let's move on to the big boss man himself. DJ Tony, go ahead and cue your music. It's Tony time, bitches.
It's Tony time, bitches.
Proteus, Pam?
Yes.
I want you to do something for me, please. And I promise on this Amp Radio Challenge to do 75 squats, air squats,
wow,
a day. But I want you to do me a favor, you guys. I want you to go out, as the great Alex Hefner once said, give someone a compliment. It makes them feel good, and it makes you feel good. A little trick of the trade, brah.
I
right
did
on.
That today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah? Who got the comment today? Was
there,
it the news?
Well, no, there's this girl that comes in. She used to work next door where I work, and she got transferred to another city. And she just happened to be in town and came in for an eye exam. And she's pretty anyways, but she's one of these people that her personality, I mean, just lights up a room. And she's just one of these people that's so genuinely nice, you know, just super, and then she's like so Southern. She's just sweet. And I told her, man, I said, you always look fabulous. Every time I see you, you look absolutely fabulous. She's like, oh, my God, thank you. So that was my compliment to the day.
Right on, right on. So speaking of fabulous, let's go ahead and take train deep into the heart of Texas. That's right. Deep in the heart of Texas. It's Marco from Waco, brother.
Do, 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 do.
Sam's excited today.
Marco from Waco, que pasa, bitch?
Que pasa, Marco? How are you doing down there deep in the heart of Texas today?
Pues, okay. Pues.
Okay, I'm going to start on a downer today, so bear with me, guys.
Oh, awesome.
Okay. Rest in peace, my dear friend, Juan Carlos Valtierra. Last Wednesday, my friend from Chile died suddenly of a heart attack, catching everyone by surprise.
Oh, no.
He turned 50 years old January 2nd of this year, last month. That was the last time I talked to him. And, you know, everybody is devastated. So rest in peace, my dear friend.
Okay. Yes, indeed. I agree with that. Hey, one
now,
quick question.
I'm sorry,
one quick question before we get started, Marco.
Mm-hmm.
How's your dog doing?
Who?
Your dog. You said
your
last
dog?
Week that you had the mobile vet coming.
It's,
okay.
After we gave him the dewormer, he pooped the biggest poop ever, and now he's fine. yeah.
Awesome.
But, okay, since everybody's making a, you know, like a statement of what they're going to do daily to stay in shape, I'm going to be like Tyson Fury, and I promise to jerk off 7 times a day to raise my testosterone. So, you know, I'll be ready.
That's a good goal, Marco.
Chorizo time. Okay.
All right, as you wish, Marco. Let's talk some MMA. I did not get to you guys at the start of the show, but this one, as I said, a little bit light in the britches on this one, guys. As DJ Tony said to me when we were talking back and forth on the text messaging, DJ Tony said this one's a little bit of a poop emoji. So what we're going to do today is kind of change up the regular way of doing things that we do. We're going to take the main event, which is probably the most interesting fight on the particular card. And then what we're going to do is everyone's favorite segment of the show, Spotlight Fight of the Night. And then we'll get into the Amperio Rewind, also known as This Week in MMA. And if we have time, I've got one quick question at the end to kind of revisit a topic that we had talked about before. But like we do on this show sometimes, we'd like to revisit. As I asked you guys to remind me last week, I've tried to give the odds for everybody's Spotlight Fight of the Night. So if you guys can remind me again, that'd be great. To the lightweight division we go, DJ Tony. Now this one, guys, you know, not a lot on the line on here. I guess it's number 6, Paul Felder versus number 7, Dan Hooker. So I take it back a little bit on the line here. But I thought to myself, guys, this is going to be a fun fight, Marco. Maybe not, you know, what we're dying for here. I mean, we're blessed for riches in this particular division. But let's throw to you. What do you got going down on here in the main event? Deep, deep in the middle of the afternoon over here in the North America time zones. What do you got in the main event, brother?
So this fight happening in Oakland, New Zealand. Land of the Hobbits. You know, a lot of the ring reference there. But it was a fun fight, dude. Number six versus number seven on the lightweight division. Two guys that are jockeying for position to get into the top five because that's where the money fights are at. It probably won't help them too much because it's kind of crowded there on the top five, but it's still an entertaining fight. I mean, right now, City Kickboxing and all the guys in New Zealand, Dan Hawker, Adesanya, the featherweight champion. I forgot his name. I can't forget. Oh, my God. Oh, well, it's going to kill me. Alexander Volkanovski, there you go. They are the new hot names in the world of MMA, you know, with the trainer. And they're doing all the right things. And Hawker is the rightful favorite on this fight for a reason. The guy is tall, lanky. He didn't do as good as a featherweight, but as a lightweight, he has been shining. And then on the other hand, we have Paul Felder, man, a guy that is balls to the wall. He's not afraid to get one. He likes to keep it close and dirty and nasty, the elbows from hell. If this fight stays at distance, it is Hawker's fight to lose.
Yeah.
And the conventional wisdom will tell you that Hawker will win, but I don't want to pick a New Zealander because fucking America. I'm going to pick Paul Felder. I think he's going to be able to get inside and make it ugly, make it greedy, make it dirty. This is a five-round fight. And we know Felder got cardio for days and he's tough as nails. We have not seen Hawker on a five-round freaking bum burner just yet. You know, I've seen this is his first true main event. So this is going to be very telling. I'm picking Felder just because of the experience factor. He's the most experienced fighter. He's the most tested fighter. He got the bigger names on his map. In a very greedy, grindy, ugly, bloody 48-47 decision. It's going to be close, but Felder's going to be able to pull it off by decision. So there you go.
All right. Now, Pammy, Marco alluded to the odds here, so let me go ahead and give them to you. As Marco said, Dan Hooker is the favorite right now at a minus 150. Paul Felder coming back at us at a plus 130. Now, Marco, maybe Dan Hooker getting a little bit of that hometown advantage rub as well with the oddsmakers here, right?
Yeah, well, a lot of probably local money coming into him, so that's probably what it is. But I mean, he's a rightful favorite because he ran a little higher, and now physically speaking, he is a taller legged fight, so it makes sense.
So, Pammy, Marco also said, you know, maybe the money's coming in on Hooker right now. But on Five Dimes, as I'm looking at it right now, it looks like the money is coming in on Felder right now. So, Pammy, let's throw to you. Marco's taking decision, Felder. What you got?
All right. Well, sound the alarm because we got a hot ginger alert. I think, well, you know, you were talking about, y'all were just talking about how Australia being like the new hotbed for MMA, but it actually has been for quite a while because I don't know if y'all remember that series of Tough when it was Australia versus Canada. Do y'all remember that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so.
You got Bobby Knuckles out of that one. Bobby Knuckles!
That's right.
I remember, I like this fight. I think it's going to be a fun fight. Dan Hooker is 6 feet with a 75-inch reach versus Paul Felder, hot ginger, 5'11 with a 70.5-inch reach. So Dan Hooker coming in with a 4-inch reach advantage, 10 KOs, 7 subs, 2 decisions versus Paul Felder, 10 KOs also, 1 sub, and 6 decisions. Kickboxing and jiu-jitsu for Dan Hooker, Paul Felder, taekwondo, karate, Muay Thai, and jiu-jitsu. So I think Paul Felder, even though Hooker is the favorite, I think right now he's running on emotion. He's a little bit too emotionable. And that was my new word, right? Emotionable.
Emotionable.
He's running
nice.
Emotionable. He's running high on emotions, hometown advantage. And I think he might be just a little bit distracted. I think Paul Felder takes this. I think both of these guys are going to be donating blood for a good cause. You like that?
I like it.
I think it's going to be bloody. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be nonstop action. I'm picking Paul Felder, but I'm picking him with a TKO. I'm going with a third round TKO for me, please.
Okay, TKO in the third for Pammy. And, of course, I'd like to apologize to all our New Zealand listeners, all our Kiwi listeners. I know you guys don't like being compared to Australians or being called Australians because they are not Pam. They're from New Zealand. Get it right. Ah. My apologies to that.
Kiwis.
What's that?
They're not Aussies. They're not Aussies. They're Kiwis.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. All right, DJ Tony, having to scold at Pammy enough on that one. What do you got going down here, as I mentioned, deep in the heart of Auckland, New Zealand?
Well, first off, I want to say, Marco, sorry to hear about your friend. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family. Second thing I want to say, listen, that's one thing that Paul Felder has never heard, that he's a hot gingy. That's one thing his wife has never even told him. I can guarantee you that. No one's looking at Paul Felder's face and saying that's a hot gingy. That's for damn sure. All right, but all right, let's here's the one thing about Paul Felder, right? Paul Felder is smart. He's he clearly, I think, has one shoe, if you will, or one foot out, because he's doing the announcing, et cetera. And I think that he's already looking past his career. But here's the thing, guys. Did he really beat Edson Barboza? On paper, he did. Did he really win that fight? Not really. Did he really beat James Vicks? Maybe, right? And let's not forget he took damage, obviously, with Mike Perry as well. The problem is that I think Felder is getting a little older, and Dan Hooker is starting to come into his own. They're about the same height. I just think Paul Felder, guys, if you really look at his body of work, if you will, I think he's coming up, and I think Felder is probably status quo. So I'm picking I don't think Felder can be finished that easy. I'm picking Dan Hooker via decision over the Irish Dragon, Paul Felder.
Definitely. Right. Picking the Hooker, nasty.
Yeah, just like Mike Hunt. All right, let's move right along if we could. Thank you very much, DJ Tony. All right. Speaking of Paul Felder and his hotness, I thought only black guys look really good when they're ripped. But, you know, Paul Felder, with all that white on the opposite end of the scale, looking, you know, pretty caught up in some of these pictures I've been seeing of him. Yeah, I know. I'm just going along trying to be on Pammy's side here, okay? Let's let that one go. All right. So, again, Marco, I want to thank you again. Marco, I want to agree with what you said at the beginning of your pick. I think if this fight is allowed to stay on the outside, Dan Hooker has a great advantage. Pammy, I also want to agree with you with what you said, that I think Hooker is looking a bit too emotionally invested in this one. You know, we talked about exactly, hashtag emotionable. So Dan Hooker looking a little too emotional in this one for me. I mean, even when they did the media way out from the event, like the pre-media, when the both guys just flew down there. Well, I guess Felder just flew down there for to stand in front of the big UFC letters to promote this fight. Hooker was, you know, full of piss and vinegar then. So, yeah, I think the bright lights and the hometown favorite kind of stacked against him. I think Paul Felder, DJ Tony, yeah, might be getting up there, but he has shown us that he's a gritty veteran. He's willing to get in there, brawl, and walk through some things that maybe most guys wouldn't be willing to do, i.e. when he broke his forearm in a spinning back fist and kept on going and throwing it. So I think this fight is going to be contested on the inside. I think Paul Felder is going to be able to get past the wonderful kickboxing of Dan Hooker and the reach and the range. I picked against Hooker last time out when Adesanya was fighting, and he's proved me wrong. But I hope this one here will leave you on an island today, DJ Tony. And I'm also going to take Felder. I think the pressure of the event gets to Hooker, even though, you know, he was the co-main, I believe, on that particular Adesanya fight. This one, he's right there square in the media light. He's going to have more of the lion's share of the media to do, again, being the hometown favorite. And we know that the UFC likes to run down their main event fighters. Felder probably a little bit more used to it. Of course, like you mentioned, he's doing the commentating on the side as well and being doing great job. I'm going to take Felder. I don't want to say decision like the rest of you fools, so I'm going to take fourth round TKO for me.
This fool didn't call the decision.
Well, Marco chose decision, and DJ Tony took the decision. Pam, of course, you're not a fool. Third round TKO. Uh-uh. Uh-huh. All right. So. You ain't scared, homie. All right. So let's move right along, guys. To everyone's favorite segment of the show, Pam, and we'll start with you. Spotlight fight of the night. What you got?
All righty, I'll give you a hint. Lo there, do I see my father. Lo there, do I see my mother, my sisters, and my brother. Lo there, do I see the line of my people back to the beginning. Emil Meek and Jake Matthews, man, this is going to be a fun one. Jake Matthews, I think people forget how young he is. He, as a matter of fact, he was, if correct me if I'm wrong, Marco, was Jake Matthews not on that tough card with the Australians?
Yeah.
Yeah, little kid. He was like a little kid. He was like 19 or something like that. So he is, he's fun to watch. I like him. Black belt in jiu-jitsu versus Emil Meek, 31-5-11. He has a 74.5-inch reach versus Jake Matthews, 73. Jake has 4 KOs and 7 subs and 4 decisions. Emil Meek has 7 KOs, 1 sub, and 1 decision. Emil coming off of 2 losses, and Jake Matthews has won 6 of his last 10. I think Jake Matthews is a little bit more skilled. Emil Meek is a little bit crazy. Not crazy, but crazy. And I know Jake Matthews is a favorite. What are the odds on this? Do you have them handy by any chance?
Yes, I do. I have them right in front of me. Jake Matthews at a minus 210. Emil Meek coming back at us at a plus 175. Of course, all these odds coming at us from Five Dimes. They are not a sponsor.
Okay. So I know Jake is the favorite, but I'm going with Emil Meek. He's been out for a little bit. July 2018 is last time he fought, and I think he's going to bring the crazy with him and go out on his shield, even if he loses or if he wins. I think it's just going to be a crazy fight. I'm picking Emil Meek, and you know what? I'm going with the decision on this.
Wow, you think so?
Ooh,
you think Matthew's going to be able to hide his chin for long enough? I don't think so.
I don't know. His last Meek's last KO was 2016. So,
all right. And well pointed out.
So, you know, but I think it's going to be a good one. And I'm dancing on Saturday, so I might miss this, or maybe not. What time are the fights?
Yeah, they're at like 5 in the afternoon. So they're in the afternoon. You should be able to catch them. Yeah.
Okay,
so
cool.
Just check your local listings.
Cool.
And of course, as we know, as we've mentioned on previous shows, you can always find them on the Twitterverse. I didn't say anything. All right, DJ Tony, let's throw to you for your spotlight fight of the night. I kind of have a feeling where we're going with this, but what do you got?
Oh, my God. Cue the music.
You're right, Proteus. As I look at the card and I say, you know what? There's nothing like Tyson Lamb versus Kai. No, that's not the one I'm looking at. What the hell am I looking at? Carolina Kovalkiewicz, she will be coming back, and she will fight because, like Marco always says, we're in America, so we're not going to say Yang Zion or whatever the heck it is. No offense to her. I'm sure she's the Fury. But Zion Yan, she will fight Carolina Kovalkiewicz, and unfortunately, I don't think this is a good night for Carolina Kovalkiewicz. I'm choosing Zion Yan via decision over the beautiful Carolina Kovalkiewicz.
I mean, how quickly the mighty have fallen. I'm like, taking a look at Carolina's ranking, number 14 right now, DJ Tony. On the precipice of falling over that cliff. I tell you what now. You know what, man? It's going to be just exciting just to wait for that blink, you know, that little wink. I like it.
Me too.
Yeah. So,
oh my God,
she's a winner in my book.
Go get some lotion, jeez.
Oh, don't worry. We'll take care of that later. But right now, we got to pick some fights. All right, I'll do my spotlight fight of the night, and then we'll get. Thank you. That's right. Do my spotlight fight of the night, and then we'll get Marco to be the voice of reason. I'm going to take the Noma looking look Boonimi versus Angela Hill. That was a mouthful, right? I don't even think I got that one correct. I'm going to take Angela Hill on
Noma
this one. I think Hill is.
Lupuni.
There you go. You got the rhythm. You got the rhyme. It's Tony time, bitches. All right, so I'm taking Angela Hill here. I think she's going to go ahead and be able to get another finish here. You know, flying over to the other side of the world, looking good and impressive in the past two fights. Maybe Angela will be able to crack the top 15 with this particular fight. I'm going to take Hill by second round TKO for me. Thank you very much. Marco, you be the voice of reason, brother. What you got, spotlight fight of the night?
Okay.
Oh, hang on, Marco. Let me give the odds on that one first. I see. No one reminded me on my pick. Damn it. Looks like Hill is the favorite in a minus 200. Lupuni is coming back at us at a plus 170. I apologize for butchering that name. Go ahead, Marco.
Okay. Quick fun fact. Angela
yes.
Hill was on the Joe Rogan podcast, and we find out that Angela Hill is the granddaughter of Bernie and Angie Hill, the first big case of UFO abductees ever recorded. So, fun fact, your grandfather's got abducted by aliens, Angela Hill.
Another fun fact, did you know that afros help you get out of chokeholds? Just saying.
Well, my spotlight for the night is not going to be on the UFC. It's not going to be on Bellator.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be on the real spotlight of the night, Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder 2. And I'm picking the Gypsy King himself, Tyson Fury, to defeat Deontay Wilder on a unanimous decision on an exciting night of heavyweight boxing. Awesome fight.
Ooh,
fight.
I don't
and
know.
Because it's a good night of fight. It's a good day of fight. So we're going to be able to watch the UFC and the pay-per-view later on that day. I'm picking Tyson Fury. So that's my pick, and I'm sticking with it.
Crazy. Marco going not even MMA related. So that's awesome. Okay, thank you guys very much. Okay, so as I mentioned and as Marco mentioned, there's plenty of fights on this weekend, whether you want to catch the UFC, catch the plethora of Bellator cards that are again gracing us with their presence Friday and Saturday night. But let's go ahead and throw into Amp Radio Rewind.
Rewind.
All right, so guys, this one, no one seemed to be able to get the method or round correct. Marco, you, of course, in the main event, were on an island by yourself, picking Anderson on that one. Just let me break it to you guys. We have a three-way tie at the top. Proteus, Marco, and DJ Tony all scored two particular points last weekend. Tammy rounding it up with 1 point. But let's start at the top. Yanni from the block goes over there and gets it done. Hey, CME, get it right. His nickname is Yanni from the block. Get it right. Marco, what you got to say about yourself and your island?
The Hobbits look great. Cody Anderson came out reckless with his guard down, trying to run that low kick, got caught. And if this was a perfect fair war, Black Hobbits would get the next title shot. But we all know this is not a perfect fair war. Dominic Reyes is still harping on the wings, and people want to see that Reyes rematch with John Jones. And then you got Israel Adesanya there, you know, barking at John Jones from middleweight. And then you got Stipe Miocic that we don't know if he's going to fall down your Cormier or not. John Jones got options. I mean, it was cool that he recognized Blachowicz at the end of the cage, and, you know, they got the little back and forward after the fight. And Blachowicz is, in case of emergency, break the glass. That's what Blachowicz is right now. But I would be highly, highly surprised if he gets the next title shot, even though he deserves it. Let's be very clear. The run that he's on right now, he deserves to be the next guy in line. But if this was a fair war, he would get it. I just doubt it. The way the UFC works today, because they go for the big money fights, that he will be the first option. But great job from Blachowicz, man. I got nothing else to say. Outstanding what he has done in his last four fights.
Yeah, absolutely. Pammy, were you able to catch these fights this weekend?
I did. Yeah, I did.
All right.
I got
all right, so let's
time.
Go ahead and get you to give us your thoughts on Yanni from the Block's performance.
I thought it was amazing. I mean, it was amazing. It was he went in there. He was calm, cool, collected. What's his face? Didn't want to touch gloves. I was like, all right, we won't touch gloves, but I'll touch your face, homie. And he sure did.
Yeah, he sure did. DJ Tony, I mean, impressive win by Yanni from the Block. We discussed last week, DJ Tony, that we were on the Reyes train for that rematch. But did the performance by Blachowicz change your mind at all? Do you think he's next in line for John Jones?
As Marco once said, I'm not impressed by your performance. There's no doubt
man.
About it. I mean, I couldn't give it to GSP because Marco said it last. But here's the thing, guys. I'm going to have to say it, Proteus. I told you guys that Corey Anderson was not going to do it. There's something about pressure when you amp yourself up. No pun intended. Shout out to Amp Radio. When you pump yourself up a little too much, you might fall, right? And I just think that Blachowicz is basically underrated. I think he fought well. Corey Anderson was a little reckless, and unfortunately, John the Great, John Jones was there and saw the whole thing. But I think you guys are wrong. I do think that Blachowicz gets the next title shot, easy shot maybe for the great John Jones. That's what I saw. I saw someone that was careless, that was looking ahead, Proteus.
Yeah, we touched on it last week where, you know, Corey Anderson had been working hard for this particular title shot to get here. But again, like Marco said, Jan Blachowicz and what he's been able to do, Yanni from the Block in the past, you know, the run that he's on is also very impressive. Now, I have given this, I've been mulling this over since, you know, the impressive win by Yanni from the Block. You know, that kind of win does kind of catapult you, Marco, into, you know, to the front of the line. Now, my one question is, as you kind of pointed out, does the UFC want to kind of build up Reyes for, like, you know, the rematch and the Reyes era, or do they want to move on to somebody new like Blachowicz, put in another fresh contender in front of John Jones and another fresh name that he might be able to roll over and maybe Marco, they want to do it, like, you know, kind of on Jan's, you know, doorstep or kind of on that side of the world. I doubt John Jones would do that, but I mean, that would be big for the European market if they give Yanni from the Block the title shot. Marco, are you trying to say something?
No, John Jones is a pay-per-view fighter. They will never take him to there because of the pay-per-view model. Plus, remember, ESPN is also invested on the pay-per-view business. So they also want the UFC to make the biggest fights. And John Jones versus Blachowicz, even though, like I tell you, Blachowicz is a Serbian, he's a 250,000-300,000 pay-per-view guys. Reyes, and the rematch with Reyes and John Jones is trending to plus 800,000, man. So money-wise, and if El Avizaña, if he beats Romero, it would be a million plus. So when we're talking dollars and cents, and it sucks for Blachowicz, but he is the in case of emergency guy. If nothing else worked out on negotiations, if everything goes south on, you know, okay, you're asking for too much money for this or the timing or whatever, if nothing else worked out, Blachowicz will get his title shot. But I think they're going to make him fight one more, maybe the winner of Teixeira Smith, before they get him a title shot. And it's just going to be a shame, man. Because Reyes right now is in the front seat.
All right, so let's talk about the weirdness that was the co-main event. Michelle Vieira against Diego Sanchez. Okay, Marco, why don't you go ahead and start us off then? it was a weird fight.
Okay, first of all, I refuse to take the win for that one, even though I picked Diego Sanchez. That is, everybody
on an island again.
Everybody saw he was getting his ass kicked. The only smart decision that Diego Sanchez made this whole 5 week was taking that freaking decision, that the disqualification win.
Yeah, not continuing.
Because he got he got no game plan. He looked like a shell of himself. The corner coach, manager, trainer, nutritionist he got on his side, that charlatan, common clown that he got on his side, is useless. And look, it is not a secret that Diego Sanchez is going through a divorce. And not taking that win would have cost him an extra $100,000. You know, he needs money to pay for lawyers. You know, he got a 6-year-old daughter that he's fighting for custody of. And then he has to pay this clown that is conning him. Look, Diego Sanchez is not the same as he was years ago. He's 38 years old. I was there live when he fought Gilbert Melendez. He is not lacking on toughness or endurance or anything like that. But his decision-making lately got a lot to decide on. I'm freaking having the connection with this Joshua Flavia, that, by the way, was in a long interview today with Luke Thomas at the Luke Thomas Show. And you listen to this guy, and everybody after the fact reacted to this guy's interview. He sounds like a douchebag and a charlatan. You cannot believe the stupidity and the lack of qualification of this guy. This dude is going to get Diego Sanchez hurt, for real. I don't know what is he brainwashing him with, but all he's doing is taking his money. And that is death reality. It's also well known that Diego got a scam back when he was in California. He lost hundreds of thousands of dollars on the stevia business that was a Ponzi scheme, and he got robbed. He's a very impressionable guy. He got a good soul. He likes to trust on people. But he put his trust on a guy, a conman, and a freaking charlatan that is going to get him hurt and he's going to take his money. And when he got no use for Diego Sanchez anymore, he's going to dump him. So somebody, please, get on the ear of Diego Sanchez that got him to lose this motherfucker. Please. And I'm begging you people. Pereira, on the other hand, he was looking good. He was managing his energy well. But he still needs to freaking check his freaking fight IQ. Because the dude, there was no need to throw the name. He was winning the fight. He could have just kept just boxing Sanchez out, or he would have just won a very one-sided unanimous decision. So that dude needs to check his fight IQ, too. That's what I have to say about this fight for you.
All right. I mean, I don't have anything to add to that. Does anybody else have anything to add to that? Because I think Marco covered it all.
I don't disagree. I think it's a travesty, but a part of it has to, I mean, you have to, I'm sorry, guys, but you have to look at the CTE factor as well on Diego because, you know, I don't blame him for taking that win, although I do think it was kind of odd, the fact that he asked the ref, hey, if I take the DQ, will I win? And this is nothing to do with Herzog, because Herzog did his job, right? But, I mean, someone has to tell Diego Sanchez to stop fighting, guys. He's not sane. Sorry, he's not sane.
All right, guys, so
maybe
I think
he needs to stop dating Instagram whores that are taking his money. How about that? Anyway.
Right on. Okay, guys, so as I promised, we're going to get out of here. I think we'll save the talk about the question that I was going to ask a little bit later. Maybe we'll see a couple more of these light cards that, you know, in my opinion, ESPN is just, you know, getting content. I mean, this is basically what this is. Again, Lord Dana says that these cards are not for us, guys. So, you know, vote with your dollars. It's up to you. You do not have to watch this garbage. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get out of here for this week. Pammy, you got a guilty pleasure of the week this week, or what do you got going on?
Right now, my only guilty pleasure, whatever you want to, I'm working on belly dance costumes. I just had performance.
Oh, yeah.
Last weekend. I had one 2 weeks ago. I've got one this Saturday. So I'm working on costumes. So no time for guilty pleasures. Damn it.
All right. Well, good luck, Pammy. We wish you the best. DJ Tony, you got a guilty pleasure this week at all?
Unfortunately, I do, Proteus. And I blame my friend, the person I love, Pam, because she has me watching that garbage 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh my gosh,
why am I watching that garbage? Seriously, I am ashamed of watching that garbage. And now they're doing the post-show garbage. What the hell am I watching that garbage for?
Oh my God, that's funny, Angela, you know what, I take it back.
She is
my white trash ass. She is gross, huh? I'm so glad you're watching it. It makes me happy. Don't you feel better about your life, though?
It makes me feel better about my life, but good Lord.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, my goodness. That's so funny.
All right, guys. I don't really have a guilty pleasure for you this weekend or this week, but I do have a Proteus' shower pick. Of course, this pick has already been added to the list. It's from the new album by Psilosis. The album's called Circle of Suffering. And my my song that I'm going to recommend is called Empty Prophets. It's a good way to start off an album, DJ Tony, and it's a pretty solid song. If you want a second song off the album, as you usually do, check out Shield as well. You know, actually, the first four songs on the album, I've really been digging. And it, all around, the album's pretty good. So check it out, Circle of Suffering, Psilosis, Empty Prophets. Proteus's shower pick. Marco, why don't you go ahead and get us out of here for this week, brother? What you got?
So my guilty pleasure is the History Channel's Project Blue Book, the story of Dr. Alan Hynek. And the star is the same guy that played Littlefinger in Game of Thrones. Really good actor. I don't remember his name, but it's a really good show, man. It was one of the best dramas selections last year, and this is the second season right now. So if you want to check out the Project Blue Book, you'll go for a ride. Follow Tony at IMDJ Tony. Follow Pam at Pandora Box. Follow Produce at Produce. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Rate and review us, Knuckleheads. We are in Blog Talk Radio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it. If there is a podcast place, we are there. There is plenty of fight this weekend. There is boxing, Wilder Fury 2, Oakland, Felder, Hooker, and then all the Bellators that are going to Bellator. And LFA on Friday, if you're into the LFA. So there you go. You got plenty of fights to watch. We better let you guys catch you guys next week. Benavides vs. Figueiredo, Flyweight Championship. Enjoy the fight.
Can't wait for that one. And just like that, Pammy,
out of here. Bye.
Right on, right on.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.